Blog Talk Radio.
Set and action.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, be all else to me. Thou my wisdom and thou my true word, I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Good afternoon, precious brothers and sisters, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. That was Ann Waters. I've never heard Ann Waters sing before, but now I know why Sister Marie picked her and sent the audio over. It was fantastic. That was Ann Waters' version of Be Thou My Vision. Well, I hope and pray everyone is doing well today. I hope everyone is doing well in Christ Jesus the Lord. And if you're not, if you're going through something, if you're having a hard time, listen, you don't need to go through it alone. Just send us an email at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. And when you send us your prayer request, we shall pray for you. The Bible says, ask whatever in Christ's name, and he will grant it to you. Of course, that's referring to a child of God who is obeying the commandments of God and who is living as God would have them to live. That said, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. You're in for a treat today. We're doing another show on critical race theory. Of course, we have wonderful audio today. Sister Marie and I will be commenting on the audio. And we've been doing this series now for quite some time. And it's been very, very educational, very informative, very eye-opening. If you're not familiar with critical race theory, you're going to be blessed today. But if you've been tuning in week after week after week, this is just going to add to your educational arsenal. Well, don't forget tomorrow, Sister AJ is going to be in studio at 2 p.m. to do her weekly broadcast entitled, Is This the Church? She's been doing a series on Jesus in Hollywood, a great series also. And so tune in tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister, who sent me a picture of Chico getting ready for bed. Chico happens to be her dog. And, boy, I can tell you, Chico is pretty pampered in that house. I got to tell you.
Yes, exactly.
He is
exactly.
Pretty pampered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's a serious thing, him going to bed. You know, he gets in his little bed. He has his own little bed on a bed. And it's really
right.
Plush, you know. Then he
sure.
wants his back rubbed for a minute.
Wow.
And then he gets his blankie on. And then he
wow.
goes to bed. It's so funny.
I tell you. Why have a dog heaven when they're in heaven right now?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say, why have a dog and bark yourself? That's very English. You know.
Okay.
I thought, is he going to say that? You know,
no, I didn't know that
yourself.
One. I never heard
yeah.
of that one before. I never heard of
yeah.
Ann Waters either. That was a beautiful rendition of Be Thou
yeah.
My Vision. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Where
I thought it was
where,
so nice.
Yeah, where is she from?
You know, I don't know much about her. I really don't.
Okay.
But I really like her version of that song, you know.
Right, right.
And I don't, so I listened to it and I thought, you know, I don't know a lot about her. It's one of the few I don't because I usually check everything. But
sure,
I just,
sure.
her version of that was just so relaxing, so comforting. And,
right, right.
And I like it. You know, you need to be a good singer to play with just one instrument.
Oh, sure.
And I
sure.
like that kind of music.
Absolutely.
You know, with one
absolutely.
Instrument.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you listen, with a bunch of instruments, you can hide a bad voice. But with one instrument,
yes.
you can't hide it. You can't hide
That's
a,
right.
a bad voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, listen, we've been doing this series on critical race theory. It's a great series. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
I think most Americans, most Christians are unaware or
mm-hmm.
vaguely aware. You know, they're either unaware or vaguely aware that critical race theory is being pushed in our society. Now, if you're sending your
right.
kids back to school, if you
mm-hmm.
got elementary school children, if you got middle school children, if you have junior high and high school age children, you realize because the curriculum today, what they're pushing on your kids when it comes to history, right? And you have to hate
right.
everything white. Yeah, everything
mm-hmm.
white you have to hate. And
right.
that just doesn't make any sense.
No,
how does a white little child get to hate themselves? I don't
mm-hmm.
I can't wrap my head around that, but that's, you know, that's one issue with critical race theory. So set this up for us.
Well, we're going back to possibly, we'll probably finish this audio today on Black Lives Matter. And this is with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries. Next week, I have additional information coming up on the movement that I think is great. It's more
okay.
about the religion of BLM. And it's fantastic. I was listening to it this morning already. So, again, I would encourage everyone to go back and listen to each one of these podcasts in the series to get an accurate picture of what we're dealing with here. One of the things I believe that was extremely valuable last week that came out was when you read that article that connected BLM with CRT or Black Liberation Theology. And that
right,
was rejected
right.
by the church for years, many years.
Right.
So talk about that article you read.
Yeah, it was in a book called The 1001 Things You Ever Wanted to Know About Demons and angels and the afterlife, and I don't know why that was in that book.
Really?
If that's the title. The title of the book is 1001 Things You Always Wanted to Know About Angels, Demons, and the Afterlife, and the guy's name is J. Stephen Lang, and the book is on spiritual things. So I don't know why it was. It's right here on page 460, Liberation Theology. Why seek heaven when you could transform Earth into a utopia? That question was the driving force behind Liberation Theology, a theological movement popular in the 1960s and 70s. As everyone now admits, it was more influenced by Marxism than by the Bible. Liberation theologians played down the New Testament teaching on mercy, kindness, and forgiving one's enemies, and instead focused on political liberation, freeing people from the oppression as God did the Israelites in Exodus. Critics of liberation theology pointed out that Exodus shows God as the liberator, but the Israelites themselves did not use violence for their own liberation, while liberation theologians condone violence. As Marxism declined in popularity, so has liberation theology. Its influence lingers among liberals who prefer utopia to heaven. And again, I'm just now because
wow, that says it all.
That says it all.
Okay,
and
have a great day. He just read it exactly. And that was written in 2000, you said?
The book was published by Thomas Nelson Publications, in the year 2000. Yeah.
Wow.
So, this little book is a smorgasbord of a lot of little topics. And I just happened to, I'm reading through the book and liberation theology, what is liberation theology doing in this book? But because it deals with heaven, one of the subjects in the book is about heaven. I guess, heaven comes up in his little write up there. But yeah, liberation theology is just communism, Marxism. That's all it is.
Yeah. Well, we may find out a little more about that next week, topic we go on next week, why that book would carry that, have that in it. We may find out next week. So to me, I think it's a shameful thing that no black lives at all will gain anything from this movement. That's just the cover name for Marxism, BLM is. So in Marxism, no lives matter. Marxists hate God. And, if you join this, you're going to end up on the other side of the scriptures. That's all I'm going to say about it. Because the opposition to God in the scriptures right now has become a extremely serious matter. Everywhere. As you well know, that's why you're doing your classes to correct everything. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing is, how much is going to be corrected? I think very little. I think, we have people who listen to the show and people who listen to the Bible classes, but, how many people really have the spine, the backbone? Because, people clap. Oh, they clap. Oh, amen, brother. Preach on, brother. Say it again, brother, right? But then when you tell them to put it into action, oh, no, brother, that's not for me.
Yeah.
Right? So, so people get excited when they hear stuff like this, but do they have a spine, a backbone to put it into action? And the answer is very few people do.
We do have some, though, out there, I can tell you.
Yeah.
We do have a few who listen, who are listening to the warnings, and they're taking your classes. I can tell you right now, and they have the backbone. So good for them, because we need more of them, you know?
Jesus said to the church of Thyatira, to the few of you who have not soiled your garments, I lay no other burden. But it's few, but again, we keep plugging along. We keep remaining faithful to the assignment, because, you know, we're the few voices God has. And we don't say that to brag. We just say that, you know, as a fact. It's just a fact. You know, and we're just doing what God has called us to do.
Well, all through the Bible, we see a remnant. You know, it's all about the remnant, you know, the smaller group throughout the Bible, you know, that carry on to the next stage. Mm-hmm. It's always the remnant that moves forward.
Absolutely.
And it's always small. It's not the masses. It's that small group. And it'll be that way in the end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's where we are. And these two brothers are doing a fine job with their podcast, and Just Thinking is called the Just Thinking podcast, and they're some of the few that are also thinking, because most church folk have been lobotomized, their brain has been removed, and that's why they can't think. But if you have any kind of brain left, tune into the Just Thinking podcast. And
they're great.
Thinking.
They are great. They analyze so many things, and you know, I like that. I really do. There's some good podcasts out there, and this is one of them. You know, that I can tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, they're on target, especially in this subject. To me, listening to so many different people, on this, you know, over and over again. The one thing I can tell you is that these were the best. Absolutely.
Right.
The best. So just, if you hear a beep, ignore it.
No
That's
problem.
A phone call coming in. But,
no problem.
Yeah, they were the best on this subject. They were absolutely the best I could find. So they've done other things, and they're good on it. As far as CRT and the social justice gospel, these two, you know, I highly recommend these two.
Right.
They, you know, really analyze things. But going back to regarding the BLM, you know, they receive millions of dollars from white corporations. They receive millions from governments, especially in England, because they're now a major organization themselves now. They make movies. They have their own news outlets. They have a big inroad in sports, clothing line, and they're supposed to be for black lives. So this is the very thing that they preach against, capitalism, and yet they're one of the biggest out there. So, you know, what can you say to that? What do you say? Hypocrite.
Well, It's like LeBron James. LeBron James claims there's a lot of racism, but he is the highest paid and the most visible NBA player there is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just made a movie in Hollywood called Space Jam 2. Listen, the movie was around him, right? It featured basketball players with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and, you know, the Looney Tunes, and it was a big hit in the movie theaters. So for a guy who's claiming, you know, the white man hates him, boy, he's getting a lot of money from the white man. Lots of money.
Exactly.
Right?
So you got to say
again,
it's hypocritical. I mean, it the whole thing. Whole thing. It's Marxism, and they got to bring it in to every group in a different package, don't they? You know, every group gets a different package with Marxism in order to make an inroad. They have to make an inroad to different people, you know? in different situations. Mm-hmm. And but yet, all you need to do is just turn around and look at what they're doing or who's benefiting and what's going on. You can see clearly it's not for us.
Right,
most
right,
definitely
right.
Not for us. It's not worked in other. It's never worked in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work here. I mean, they will succeed in what they're doing, but we can't go along with it. That's, you know, we thinking about these different groups out there. You know, you think about it. We have the NAR. We have the crazy divination prophets out there.
Right,
who want
right.
to overtake the government and make war.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Word
yeah.
of Faith, and they're robbing you blind as a leader
sure.
becomes the new pharaohs out there. We have the
right.
bishops who are leading people to the harlot in Revelation. And, you know, and how about the political gospel? You know, they're setting up a leader that promises to fix everything so the world will worship him. So if you look at that and then you add to that, the rest of the world is embracing Marxism through these various
right.
movements.
Right.
I mean,
even
that's
in,
just a
even,
few ways. Satan's robbing
yeah.
soul.
Even in the black church now, the black bishops are talking about promoting critical race theory and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan and lesbian bishop Yvette Flounder, they're into liberation theology.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, so there's audio on that. So, you know.
There's audio of Jake's praising Karl Marx, too, out there.
Crazy. Crazy.
So
absolutely,
you may think,
yeah.
well, okay, that's not involved in it. Our church isn't involved in it, or this church isn't. Well, when you have them on audio praising Karl Marx, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They can't
no,
deny.
I will.
Why are they
yeah,
doing
I,
that?
I will tell you one thing. T.D. Jakes would not like to. He would not like to do ministry in Russia, because
mm-hmm.
in Russia, he may like Marxism, but he will not function well under Marxism because Marxism will shut him down.
Right.
The Marxists would shut him
exactly.
down. So he can only do what he's doing here in America. He can't do. Listen,
mm-hmm.
T.D. Jakes could not do what he's doing here in China, in North Korea, in Iran.
Right.
That wouldn't. No. They listen. The Taliban would be cutting off his head this afternoon if he was operating over there in Afghanistan.
That's right.
Right.
That's
and
correct.
And who's helping? And who's helping Afghanistan, right? The Russians and the Chinese, Marxist countries, right? So,
yeah.
No, only here in America and in other places where freedom is enjoyed can we have mm-hmm. the liberty to preach what we preach.
Right.
So, you know, it
yeah,
is
you
what
have
it is.
Think about it. You're right there because if – none of these preachers preach in Cuba.
Right.
You know, none of them go to Cuba. Why isn't there a conference, a Bible conference, a prophecy conference, and all that in Cuba?
Let's do a prosperity conference. Let's do a prosperity.
Yes.
Why doesn't Copeland do a prosperity conference in Cuba? I'd like to see him
right.
do that.
Right.
But he's not.
So it doesn't make any sense for them to want it here, you know.
Right.
It really, it's about control. That's all it is. And they think they're going to be a part of that. Well, guess what? You know, it's going to turn on them too.
Sure. Sure.
They're going to get it, you know, themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
You know, it ends up. We end up with the Antichrist and the false prophet here, you know, who's basically, do you think they're going to survive that? No.
Yeah,
they're
the
not
only
either.
Way they would, yeah. The only way they will survive it is if they bow down and worship the beast and point people to the beast, then they'll survive it. But,
For a while.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So
I don't know. For me, the game changer with all this stuff is that you've always had the false church against the true church, but when you have the government itself against you and other governments are joining in with that, that's when it becomes prophetic and the very thing that we're warned about in Scripture. And to me, that's the game changer of this whole thing, you know, because
sure.
this is pushed in government. So when we start seeing entire governments, countries, nations turning to this, you know, and
mm-hmm.
other things, all these other
right,
things,
right.
you know, that's exactly what we were warned about. So it's on a bigger scale. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it's starting to become a matter of which mountain do you want to die on?
Yeah,
when I look
exactly.
at all these things, I'm thinking, okay, we have this one, that one, that one. I mean, choose your mountain, you know, that you want to die on
mm-hmm.
there. Because
yeah.
One of these are coming after the church, if not all of them, basically,
mm-hmm.
are
right,
coming after
right.
the church. But this is just one of many. But this one is not only, it's a world, it's in the culture, too. It's not only the culture, but the culture has invaded the church with this. So
mm-hmm.
I think we left off at 155, you said. Was that correct?
Okay, let me pull it up and see where we are. Absolutely, 155. If you want to bring it back to 150, you want to do that so we can get a running start?
Yeah, go ahead. Take it back to 150, and we'll just, I think there's about, 35, 40 minutes left of it yet, you know? And
yeah.
we should be able to clear it out today. So,
right,
you know,
so
stop it as you like. There's
right.
a lot of info
it,
in this, bro.
Yeah. I
so.
Took it back to 150 so we can get, you know, kind of where we were, what we were getting into last
right.
week as we were closing, okay? All right, here it is.
Good idea. Okay.
That has grown fond of exchanging in-depth expositional preaching for topical TED Talks, right? That's kind of what we've done. We've exchanged in-depth
yes.
expositional preaching for topical TED Talks. We have far too many believers who have grown accustomed to pragmatism rather than the power of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Add to this fact that the secular educational system really is in cahoots with the ideas surrounding Marxism. This is the vast majority of believers and unbelievers alike have found themselves being educated in a secular public school system. It's built upon historic revisionism at its core. This revisionism sees Christianity as the white man's religion that is used only to enslave blacks and put them into bondage. I love what you quoted from what Frame said earlier. He said, and I quote, "Christians were in the vanguard of abolishing the slave trade and slavery itself, also in the care of orphans and widows, improving education, encouraging science and art," end quote. When I thought about that, I reflected upon the book by Thomas Sowell, which we've quoted a number of times in this particular episode. But in his book, Black Rednecks, White Liberals, he wrote this, and I
mm-hmm.
quote, what was peculiar about the West was not that it participated in the worldwide evil of slavery, but that it later abolished that evil, not only in Western societies, but also in other societies subject to Western control or influence. This was possible only because the anti-slavery movement coincided with an era in which Western power and hegemony were at their zenith, so that it was essentially European imperialism which ended slavery. Let me repeat that because you don't hear that.
Yeah, you need to repeat that, but you hear the exact opposite of what
you
said.
You hear the exact opposite. He said this in his book. He said, so it was essentially European imperialism which ended slavery. Continuing to quote from Sowell, he says, "This idea might seem shocking, not because it does not fit the facts, but because it does not fit the prevailing vision of our time," end quote. Now, many know well the history of slavery in our country. Far too few know the story of many abolitionists and others who at the cost of some of their lives, actually went about eradicating slavery. Now they did this on the basis of understanding the Christian worldview, and they were willing to risk their lives to end slavery, both in America and abroad. Now, Marxist ideology is formulated based upon the disdain and violation of the 10th commandment, that thou shalt not covet. Marxism leverages this evil in the human heart for the purpose of creating chaos and for overthrowing government. And that's the point in the previous section that you just made. That's exactly what Marxism does. And so I want to end on that point, but I think again, we've definitely made the case. I know we've got more to go.
Great thoughts, brother. You know, many of our listeners,
when you listen to Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan in a recent Larry Reed Live symposium, along with lesbian bishop Yvette Flanders, they say, you got the white man's religion. The white man's religion, you know, my masters created this religion, and I got to break free from that religion. And, you know, and they're into liberation theology and, you know, reading all of the books that just engender hatred. And this is seeping in now into the black church.
Yes.
You see? It's
coming back
now,
in.
Right.
You can tell by what he said there. We abolish slavery in the country. So what do you think that Marxism is trying to do? You think the opposite. They're taking you back into it, a different kind of slavery. They're taking the world into it. So
right.
It's a country like this in Britain that abolished slavery that they're going after now. And what do you think it brings in? Slavery. You think the opposite of what has happened. So go ahead.
Yeah, the Secretary of State, when Biden became president, and I think it was January or February of this year, because Biden has only been in office a few months. But it was either January or February of this year when they met, when the Chinese diplomats and the American diplomats met in Alaska, of all places. Who meets in Alaska in the winter? But the Chinese were telling the
Americans.
Maybe
went the wrong way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. The Chinese diplomats were telling the Americans, you have an awful record on human rights, because look, for 400 years you guys had slavery, and Biden's people stood quiet instead of saying, no, we abolished slavery. We abolished
that.
That
was a setup.
You guys are running concentration camps right now, but they stood quiet. They took the hit and didn't say anything. But, it is what it is. See, you got to know the truth in order to be able to fight back.
Yeah.
And these guys here are presenting truthful, powerful, cogent arguments, you know? And, all right. So here's more.
Omaha may be familiar with Karl Marx from his books, Das Kapital, which he published in 1867. Perhaps more famously, they're familiar with his Communist Manifesto, which he co-authored with the German philosopher and fellow communist Friedrich Engels in 1848. Now, in the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx said this, quote, "When in the course of development, class distinctions have disappeared and all production has been concentrated in the hands of a vast association of the whole nation, the public power will lose its political character. Political power, properly so called, is merely the organized power of one class for oppressing another," unquote. Now, in the book The Dictators, Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Russia, author Richard Overy writes this, quote, "Censorship in Germany differed from Soviet practice in one important respect. There was no attempt to reform artistic output, since everything likely to be proscribed was, by definition, the product of, quote, cultural Bolshevism, unquote, or Jewish or alien. cultural products were divided up into those that were acceptable and those that were not. Now, let me pause right here. Let me pause from quoting Richard Overy from his book, The Dictators. As you listen to me, listeners, listen to what I'm saying against the backdrop of what's happening with Antifa in places like Portland, Seattle, and other cities like that. Listen to what I'm saying in quoting Richard Overy against the backdrop of what is currently happening with respect to the disruption of life that is being deliberately embarked upon by Antifa supporters in certain cities. Let me start from the beginning. Quoting Richard Overy from his book, The Dictators, Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Russia. Quote, censorship in Germany differed from Soviet practice in one important respect. There was no attempt to reform artistic output, since anything likely to be proscribed was, by definition, the product of, quote, cultural Bolshevism, unquote, or Jewish or alien. Cultural products were divided up into those that were acceptable and those that were not. The latter were banned or destroyed. In March 1933, Hermann Goebbels instructed the librarian Wolfgang Ehrmann to draw up a blacklist of Jewish, Marxist, and un-German literature. The list was sent to the student unions in German universities and high schools. It was the student activists. Again, let me pause. Just like in Germany in 1933, as it is right now in Portland in 2020, it is the student activists. It is students from these liberal colleges and universities who are at the center of the riots and violence under the Antifa umbrella that we're seeing, especially in cities like Portland. Overy says the list was sent to the student unions in German universities and high schools. It was the student activists in the Deutsche Studentenschaft rather than the rival National Socialist Student League who declared a four-week program of cultural cleansing from April 12th to May 10th, which culminated with the mass burning of blacklisted books. Books were seized from university libraries and bookshops. Professors who protested were boycotted. On the final day of the program, huge bonfires were lit in Berlin, Munich, Breslau, Frankfurt, and Dresden, and crowds of students, SA men, and academic staff threw the offending literature into the flames, including the plays and poetry of Bertolt Brecht, who had already left Germany for Austria in March of 1933. In the autumn, Brecht settled in Denmark, and it was here that he wrote the satirical poem The Burning of the Books for the writer Oscar Maria Graf, who did complain that he had been omitted from the first list of proscribed books drawn up in March 1933. Overy closes his passage with this. The first books, they're burning unapproved books in Germany in 1933. The first books thrown onto the pyres were those of Karl Marx, unquote. Now, think about that for a moment, Omaha. Adolf Hitler had Karl Marx's books burned. Now, what does it say about a worldview that is espoused by the founders of Black Lives Matter that a man who was single-handedly responsible for the genocide of millions of Jews, millions of human beings, had books written by Karl Marx burned? Listen, the worldview of Karl Marx can be summed up this way. Karl Marx was an atheist. He also hated Jews. In a 2019 article for the website, now remember, I mentioned that because remember, Patrice Couture and Alicia Garza proudly confessed that we are, quote, trained Marxists, unquote. Karl Marx hated Jews. He was an atheist. In a 2019 article for the website, JewishPress.com, titled Karl Marx, A Self-Hating Jew. Writer Saul J. Singer said this, quote, "Although he is renowned as a champion of the working class, Marx was a freeloader who had little interest in work and was constantly in debt to moneylenders. Indeed, his mother once told him, quote, I wish you were more interested in accumulating capital instead of writing about it. Maybe then you could stop asking me for it," unquote. His mother's refusal to finance her son's sloth ultimately led to their estrangement. Marx's lifelong poverty may have been a motivating factor in the development of both his political philosophy and anti-Semitism. In fact, many analysts persuasively argue that his anti-capitalist animus was grounded in his anti-Semitism, self-hatred, and belief that the root evil of capitalism is the exploitative Jews. Marx's anti-Semitic writings are legion. On holiday in Ramsgate in 1879, he wrote to Friedrich Engels that the resort contained, quote, many Jews and fleas, unquote.
All right. Any comments to that point?
Yeah, you know, I think Hitler burning Marx's books could have been an elaborate ruse, you know, on his part. He had to appear to be halfway decent, right? Like he was against something like that, but I'm not sure. Karl Marx,
yeah,
think about go ahead.
You know, I want to highlight that point you just made, that it was a ruse. Because, look,
yeah.
not only did Hitler burn his books, he burnt everybody's
mm-hmm.
books.
Yeah.
That, you know, Christians, and you know, of course, Hitler's political persuasion, he was a fascist. Fascists
mm-hmm.
and communists don't get along. So that's
correct.
Why he burned his books. You know, but
yeah.
Hitler was burning. Anyone who wasn't thinking like Hitler or espousing Hitler's mindset, their stuff would be turned into ashes. That's just,
and so
you know,
Christians
just,
with
absolutely.
The Jews.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't put any stock in Hitler, the fact that Hitler burnt Marx's books, like I said, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a ruse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
to be in that group, you know, with that Hitler, you know, Hitler was just wicked,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's a great example of the coming Antichrist. If you don't
correct.
Come to the Antichrist's side, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You're finished. And that's what Hitler was all about. Plain and simple. Okay. You were going to say?
No. Yeah. Well, Karl Marx lived in lifelong poverty. Think about that. That was behind, poverty was behind his belief system. So what do you think his belief system is? He hated capitalism because, you know, that's people making money freely by working. He hated that. You know, think about it. He was a bum in his mom's basement writing about against capitalism.
Right.
He hated the Jews, and he was a Jew, by the way, who hated the Jews.
Right.
Because they were known to be blessed for making money. They
sure.
were blessed in business.
And they worked.
And he hated that.
The Jews were blessed for making money because they would get up early and go to bed late. If you go to bed early and go to bed late, you're going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, so if you, it's called the work ethic. A work ethic,
yes.
right? Other
yeah,
people
he was
say
against
the early.
That.
Yeah. Well, redistribution of wealth is what these people like. We break
mm-hmm.
our backs, we make the money, and then you take it from us and you give it to people who don't want to work. Redistribution
yep.
of wealth. That's what it's about.
That's what
Marx
it is.
Marx was a bum in the basement, and he wanted mama's money to become his.
Yeah, exactly.
It. Redistribution.
Think about
of
that.
Wealth.
That was surprising. Yes.
Yeah. That his own mother outed him. His own mother
told
him
to
a
get
bum.
A job.
That's it. That's it. What a,
and you want the world to be like that? I mean, come on. Come on.
And she must have gotten an inkling that he was going to be a bum, because for the 9 months he was in her womb, he didn't kick one time. So, you know, she said, this kid is lazy. He didn't even kick me one time.
Yeah.
The bum.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, here's more.
Oh.
And in another letter to Engels, he described Ferdinand LaSalle, the Jewish founder of German socialism and Marxist political opponent, as a, quote, Jewish nigger, unquote. Wow. Faced with this clear record of anti-Semitism, many apologists nonetheless contort themselves in some truly bizarre ways to sanitize what Marx has clearly written and to distort who he really was. Let me pause right there. Let me pause right there in quoting Saul J. Singer from his article, Karl Marx, a self-hating Jew. When Singer says, facing this clear record of anti-Semitism, many apologists nonetheless contort themselves in some truly bizarre ways to sanitize what Marx has clearly written and to distort who he really was, that's absolutely happening right now. That's happening right now, and it's happening within the church. You've got people, you've got well-known evangelical leaders within the church who will say on social media, one well-known female, by the way, accused those who would call out this sort of thinking as Marxism, called them out for name-calling.
Right.
As if this is just a simple sticks and stones kind of thing, where we're just throwing the Marxist label out there haphazardly. No, you have people right now within the evangelical church. Remember the quote I read earlier. Language on the Black Lives Matter website resembles this worldview, but it's out there obliquely. Okay, it's not overt. Okay, it's camouflaged. But you have people within the church right now who espouse this worldview, who admire Karl Marx and his worldview, though he was an atheist and anti-Semite, okay? They're contorting themselves here to sanitize what Marx has clearly written and what he truly believes, all right? Let me continue the quote from the article. Many argue that Marx was merely reflecting broad societal antipathy for Judaism in general, and was thus merely expressing the commonplace thinking of his era that, quote, Jew, unquote, was a commonly used term for usurer, and that Marx hated Christianity just as much as Judaism, and there is no record of Marx engaging in anti-Semitic activities or joining or supporting anti-Semitic organizations, that these statements were merely reflections of his, quote, witty, unquote, and, quote, ironic, unquote, writing style, and that, quote, in spite of the clumsy phraseology and crude stereotyping, unquote, his purpose was to defend Jews and to extend full civil rights and political emancipation to them. However, the gestalt of Marx's writing, in terms of both his philosophy and his language, leaves little doubt that he was a self-hating Jewish anti-Semite, unquote. That was from Saul J. Singer's article, excuse me, Karl Marx, a Self-Hating Jew.
Yeah.
Sound familiar?
That's a known fact.
Go ahead.
You can't rewrite history. You can't paint now Karl Marx with a different brush. No,
mm-hmm.
That's what he was.
Jewish anti-Semite, just like the Zionism is today, you see? Just like the Orthodox Jewish leader, Rabbi Shapiro, told us about Zionism versus Judaism, that's what's going on today, which I said would be a part of this later on, just saying. But as you see, that's exactly, Zionism hates the Orthodox, many of the Orthodox Jews, but the Jewish or the Orthodox Jews recognized Zionism as a political movement and not a religious movement, correct?
Right.
So that's kind of what, yeah.
Yeah, look. It's like the Republicans, like Trump, right? Okay. If you claim to be a Republican, but you tell Mr. Trump, no, this is no good, now what does he do? He calls you a bum. He ostracizes you. He makes fun of you. He'll call you a name, Lying Ted or a Sleepy Joe. Or, you know, he's got these great names.
Yeah.
He must have been listening to the Wolf Tracker years ago because he comes up with these great names. But
Jimmy the Jackass. Remind
me
to talk to you about that. You said I didn't name names. And I said, remember that one show? You said I never named names. I said, oh, really? I thought about that, and I thought, no, you didn't. But you called them animals. You had animals.
Right.
I was a little late on that, but go ahead.
Right. So you see, the thing is that these people, they're all strong, you know, Marx, Hitler, Trump, Biden, all of these political animals, they have one way of looking at things, and if you don't join them, excuse me, then you get into trouble with them. And that's, you know, these are people who are, they say, listen, let's tolerate, but they're intolerant. The gays are always telling us, they tell us, right, the straight people, be tolerant, but then they're intolerant. They're super intolerant.
It's the opposite.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
So all these people that tell you to do one thing, they don't do it themselves. They don't do it.
That's exactly what it is. And, you know, Marxism, what it boils down to is the government deems what's acceptable, and they also deem what is unacceptable. So, you know, if you don't accept abortion or gay marriage or other, you know, religious equal to ours, you know, to Christianity or being an actual true church, you know, that's going to be deemed unacceptable in the government.
Right.
That's what Marxism is. You have to go with the flow.
Right. You look at that gubernatorial race that's going on today in California, right? The governor is a rich white dude. Rich white dude, right or wrong?
Right.
But he's a Marxist, right? He's a Marxist.
Yes.
The guy running against him is a black guy, Larry Elder, right? He's a black guy.
Yep.
But he happens to be Republican. So what a who is Black Lives Matter propping up? Are they propping up? Are they backing up the black guy? No.
Mm-mm.
Black Lives Matter is rallying around Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, all those nuts over there in California. They want you to help the minorities, right? But are they helping the minority guy running? No. They're helping the rich white guy.
Yeah.
So I don't.
And isn't Pelosi related to him?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think she is.
Well, either way, he's a rich white guy. And who does Black Lives Matter hate today? Rich white people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they're pulling down all these statues, right? They're pulling down all these statues. But notice, are they backing up the black guy? No. They're backing up the Marxist who happens to be rich and white.
Yes.
That just goes to the point you were making that they're just a Marxist group. It's not about color.
Yes.
If it was about color, they'll be helping Larry Elder win. But it's not about black lives. It's about Marxism.
Right. It's about happened to John James in Detroit. I mean, the best guide that you could have down there. You know, I mean, because he was born and raised, he understood the streets. He understands he was black. He understood the black community. He understood everything there was and who got in. Somebody, Gary Peters, got in that most people had never even heard of, and rich white guy And who promoted
there you go.
That? BLM.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Because black lives don't matter. It's about Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Marxism. That's what it's
about.
So why
don't they name it Marxism Matters? Because that's what it's about.
Right. But you see, but then people, they wouldn't gain support. See, they would, because,
right.
you know, it's like Satan. When Satan comes, he doesn't come as Satan. He comes as an angel of light. He comes representing
Correct.
Something else so that we can get behind him. Oh, Satan, oh, look what he's doing. Let's get behind him. This is good. This is wonderful. But he's
mm-hmm.
Satan. He's Satan. But because he comes as an angel of light, it's like, look, all these pimp preachers, how do they come? They come as ministers of Christ. And then when
mm-hmm.
a hurricane hits, they're on TV. This is Samaritan's Purse. If you can fill up our purse with money, we would greatly appreciate it. We want to help the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, these people come. They come as ministers of righteousness, but they're so wicked and underhanded. They're just
yeah.
wicked, right?
You got that thing from Jesse Duplantis, didn't you? I sent you. With the last
yeah.
hurricane?
Sure.
Yeah.
Did he help? And that guy that guy has a huge mansion.
Yeah.
That he made tax-free. Tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
yeah,
Jesse
he said
Duplantis,
he was giving out generators when they asked him why nobody had power, but he had power in that mansion. And
right.
He said, well, I've done my part. You know, everyone said, well, you haven't done anything for the community you live in or for the members of your church. He said, I gave out generators, and somebody comes and wanted a generator, and he said, they're all gone. There's no proof he did any of that.
Absolutely.
You know, at the end of the day, when, you know,
well,
when it boils down
listen.
To doing something.
Yeah, you see, the thing is with Jesse Duplantis, if the generators were gone, all he had to say was, I'll call those things that be not as though they were. So just wait 5 minutes.
Yes.
I'm going to call some into
yes.
existence, and I'll start giving out more.
Yes.
You see? That's all
yeah.
you have to – well,
yeah.
why don't you call those things that be not as though they were? You ran out,
right.
call some into existence. It's,
well,
it's a scam.
It's like
My
your
sister,
teacher.
It's a scam.
And
it's
like you're teaching when you said doing. You know, it's a verb, and it's an action word. And
right.
these people are not about the action.
No, they're not about the action. They're not about the – they always want you to sow seeds. They always want
yes,
you to come
exactly.
forward, and they always want you, but then when it's their turn to come, they don't come. They don't do anything.
Yeah.
See, they don't
that's
do anything.
That.
So.
Because they aren't a shepherd, and they aren't
no,
a pastor.
No. No. These are con men. These are con
yes.
men. That's what they are. All right.
Well, let me tell you something. I was
yeah.
watching, you know, I've watched a case, and you just added con men. I cannot believe, like, you're watching someone, let's say that was like a retired detective or former detectives and police officers, and they're working
right.
on the case, but you have 100 other people out there talking about it that are legitimate drug addicts, homeless, that are getting views. They're con artists. They're putting up Patreon accounts and PayPal accounts and going on YouTube. They manage to get on YouTube and talk about the case, and they're known drug addicts, and people are paying them. They're getting like $1,400 a month with commercial revenue and everything to talk about a case when they're just watching the police or detectives talk about the case, and they're just regurgitating what was said, and they're making money. You talk about con artists, YouTube, you know, they've got track marks all over their arms and neck, and these people are raking in money. So it's just like in the church, it's everywhere. The point
yep.
I'm making, it's everywhere. You might, you know, say, oh, I really like that person's personality or whatever on YouTube. And then you find out somebody, a researcher, went in and found out they've got a criminal record 8 miles long. You know?
Right.
And they're a drug addict. They're a meth
right.
user or something. You know, and these people are acting legitimate. You see people on there calling themselves doctors and lawyers, and,
right.
and they're cons.
Right.
They're con artists
right.
all over the Internet. So all over YouTube, you can see them everywhere. So this is crazy, but this is exactly what we're dealing with in the church. They've just – so what's the difference? They're saying that they're a doctor of something on the YouTube. Well, in the church, they're calling themselves pastors. They're the same type of people. You know,
sure.
we have the same type
yes.
of people that have walked into the church that we see on YouTube. These are just people who have learned how to con to get money. Are there
right.
legitimate people out there? Yes. But I'll tell you, there's a lot more out there that are cons than there are
Absolutely.
Legit.
Absolutely.
So it just
and
reminded
it's
me of that when you said that. It
yeah,
just,
yeah.
you know, it's happening in the church. This is talking about, you know, the world into the church. You know, the culture
right.
outside
right.
has moved into the church. So they're just calling themselves pastors. They could be on YouTube tonight calling themselves a doctor and so, you know, you don't know.
Right,
so,
right.
Think about that.
Yeah, no, you're on point. Think about all the prophetic words that Jesse Duplantis has gotten over the years. The Lord
mm-hmm.
told me, why didn't the Lord tell you to buy X amount of generators so that you wouldn't run? See, when you pose these intelligent questions, then you expose these people.
Mm-hmm.
You expose them.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesse Duplantis is a clown. He's made
yes.
millions and millions and millions of dollars by being the clown of the Word of Faith movement. Because, you know,
yeah.
and that's what he is. He's the court jester of the Word of Faith. If you want someone to
right.
make you laugh during the conference, invite Jesse. Jesse will have the people rolling, you know, they'll be laughing
yeah.
it up, chucking it up. And
yep.
he's made millions just by making people laugh.
That's
and
right.
he's going to get away with it. He's going to get away with it. His money won't stop coming in. His money will still come in. But, you know, for those of us who have the Spirit of God and discernment, we know what he is. He's a clown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
It's amazing. It's really amazing. And, I mean, I've learned something by just sitting down and looking at things like the, you know, normally I don't look at the things of the world that much, you know, it's kind of out there and I notice things, you know,
right.
but I really noticed that when I started to sit down and really look at different things that I saw out there. And it all stemmed
mm-hmm.
around this one case I was looking at. And I started looking at the people and reading their backgrounds. And I thought that this person is actively a meth user on here posing as a consultant. You know,
right?
I mean,
correct.
This were, and it just showed me what a phony, false world we live in. We're surrounded by this stuff everywhere,
absolutely.
And people believe it. And how quick people can be conned by things if they don't do the research and have the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, you can be. You know, there's people out there paying big bucks for someone to talk about narcissism because they say that they're
mm-hmm.
a, you know, a therapist or, you know, and honestly, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that in the church. It's the same thing. And I think it's time that we need to really analyze everything that's coming in.
We have
to. I mean,
we
really
to.
Need to learn you know, truth and error and right and almost right at this time because it's
mm-hmm.
getting bad.
Sure. Sure. Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, if you have some kind of a brain, you can figure this stuff out. because mm-hmm. these guys just contradict
being logical.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just listen to Duplantis, and you'll see that he'll make one statement here, and then the next day he's contradicting himself, and all you have to do is say, but wait a minute, that doesn't even make sense. You ran out of generators? You ran out, and you claim to be a prophet that God speaks to you every day?
And you go visit heaven?
Right.
You went to heaven, met God, met all the met everybody up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, listen, these people are
Why didn't he tell them the storm was coming?
Right.
And get out.
Sure. Why didn't he tell them to build his mansion in upstate New York where there are no hurricanes?
Right.
Right. And by the way, Mr. Copeland, you said COVID be gone. COVID be gone. We've had more variants of the COVID. Listen, shut up.
I told you, think the opposite back then.
Right.
I said, whatever he's saying, think the opposite. And that's true.
Exactly.
It's true with Marxism, too. Whatever they're saying, think the opposite, because that's exactly what this is. Could
right.
be why they're
right.
doing that. It's always
sure.
the opposite of what they're saying. Just
all
an easy way
right.
to figure it out.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'll shut up.
No. This is your
no.
show. This is your show.
No.
Yeah,
I kind of
yeah.
got off there on a roll about
no,
that. But
no,
I was
no,
thinking
no.
about that when we talked about Jesse. I mean, it really made me angry. But thinking about the con artists out there, that's been on my mind. I can point them out. There are a dime a dozen out there. And I can point them out. I can see through these people so easy. And the thing is that people in the world need to see through these people. Or people in the world see through these people, I'm sorry. And there's people in the church that don't. And
right.
that's the thing that really bothers me. If someone in the world can spot these cons, I see people all the time saying, that doesn't make any sense, what they just said, and they'll call them out. They have no indication that they're a part of the church, these people, yet they see it. And why is it that the church has been so dumbed down that they don't when the
Listen,
world can
there
see
is,
it?
You just made a great point, which reminded me of this video that's out there on YouTube. It's Maury Schaefer from 60 Minutes. And he's interviewing
mm-hmm.
Jackie Gleason.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked Jackie Gleason, about heaven and do you believe in heaven and, all that stuff. And then he asked him, what do you think about preachers? Maury Schaefer asking Jackie Gleason. He says, well, listen.
Do your best,
And it's
Maury.
A great clip.
Or do your best,
it's,
Gleason. Go ahead, because
well,
you do
he,
it well
he,
like him.
Yeah. Yeah, but what he does is he says, I don't know why these preachers keep asking people for the money because they're so connected to God. Why don't they ask God for the money? Now, when Jackie Gleason said that, he has a cigarette in his hands
mm-hmm.
and he's drinking a martini.
Yeah.
He's loaded. Now, here's a guy who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Doesn't
mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, and yet
mm-hmm.
he can discern and he can tell you that these preachers are con men.
Yeah.
He can just tell you, why are they coming to me for money? Why don't they go to God for it? God has it. Go to God
right.
for it, right? And church folk
right.
can't figure that out. They can't figure that out.
Yeah, it's amazing. It
yeah.
is amazing when that happens, and that really shocks me. So I think, in the last decade or so, too many
mm-hmm.
of these con men out there and people,
right.
not learning the truth or not spending time in the Word and being taught by, other people instead of the Word of God or televangelists or, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But,
That's
really been dumbed down.
Big time dumbed down. Big time. Here's more.
Right.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the man whom at least two of the three founders of Black Lives Matter revere and whose worldview that organization's entire purpose is modeled after. Karl Marx viewed humanity in terms of classes. With Marx, class was everything. It was the haves versus the have-nots, the powerful versus the powerless, the oppressor versus the oppressed, us versus them. According to Karl Marx, the sole purpose of political power is for one class of people to oppress another. So when you understand Marx's worldview, you likewise can understand why the mission and objective of Black Lives Matter is so saturated with political language that emphasizes using the political and electoral process to ensure that power is both obtained and retained by individuals and groups that are favorable to its radical agenda. Listen, there is nothing on the Black Lives Matter website, okay? You will find nothing on the Black Lives Matter website about reducing violent crime in black neighborhoods, where 88% of the time when the homicide victim was black, so was the suspected killer. You will find nothing on their website about increasing the literacy rate among black children. For example, when you have 75% of black boys in California do not meet state reading standards. Nothing on the Black Lives Matter website about promoting the ethos that young black boys and girls should abstain from engaging in premarital sexual intercourse so as to reduce the nearly 250 unborn black babies who are murdered by abortion every day in this country. There's not a word on the Black Lives Matter website about promoting marriage so as to reduce the more than 70% of black children who are born to single mothers and the nearly 40% of black children under the age of 18 who, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, live in fatherless homes. None of that you will find on the Black Lives Matter website. But what you will find on the Black Lives Matter website is this. Verbiage declaring their desire to, quote, disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure, unquote. That bullet right there, that point right there, that objective goes back to what I was quoting from Karl Marx earlier, who in his Communist Manifesto wants to, quote, abolish the family, unquote, unquote. Again, this is just another way where Black Lives Matter says the exact same thing that Karl Marx believed in. Only their wording is that they want to, quote, disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. Okay? What you'll also find on the Black Lives Matter website is their desire to, quote, foster a queer affirming network, unquote. You'll also find on their website a desire to, quote, dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk, especially black trans women, unquote. You'll also find on their website, quote, a desire freedom and justice for ourselves as a prerequisite for wanting the same for others. Now, before I turn it over to you, Omaha, I just want to expand on that last bullet point there. Excuse me. Where Black Lives Matter on their website says they desire freedom and justice for ourselves as a prerequisite for wanting the same for others. Now, earlier at the very top of this episode, I quoted from the Black Lives Matter website where they say they want justice for everybody. They want justice for everybody. But here they're contradicting themselves. They desire freedom and justice for themselves as a prerequisite. So their justice is conditional. When I get what I want, then I can get behind what you want. That's essentially what they're saying here. When they say they desire freedom and justice for ourselves as a prerequisite for wanting the same for others. Thoughts on that, Omaha?
A lot of content that...
Right there before Omaha comes on, you have any comment on what our brother just said?
Yeah, their motto, no justice, no peace, right?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
If you abolish the family, it's just another way of tearing down what God has already established as good. See? That's evil
right.
Trying to prevail. And that's exactly what's happening here. In any form it takes, you know, they're taking down the family unit. Do you have something to say on that? Because, you know, you preach a lot about that.
Look, when I was growing up in the projects, there were no daddies available. Mm-hmm. Right? You went to every house. Mama was there, but no daddy. Now, why was there no daddy? Well, because the government under Lyndon Baines Johnson, president, the 36th president of the United States, began that movement called the Great Society, in which now mm-hmm. they're starting to give out huge welfare checks. Right?
Right.
So now, with the check, you eliminate daddy because daddy was supposed to be the breadwinner. Now, interesting, mm-hmm. check this out. There's no daddy at home, but each year mama's having a baby. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Wait a minute. How is mama having a baby? You go down to the welfare office, my husband's gone. Okay, but you just pooped out another child. How?
Pooped out?
I mean, is this the Immaculate Conception here? I mean, right? And I mean, this was in every apartment in the whole building. Women were having babies. They were reporting mm-hmm. that their husbands are gone. When you have mm-hmm. another baby, the check increases. Right?
Yeah, it's the same in England.
Okay. So here's the thing. There was social engineering back then.
Yes.
They were out to destroy the family back, society, the government, the powers that mm-hmm. be were out to destroy the family back then.
Yes.
And the same thing, you go to any urban center, where are the men? And that has come into the church because now you go to the church and the church is filled up with women. Where are the men?
Mm-hmm.
The men are not in the church. Then you take those babies and now you're slaughtering them. You're slaughtering them through abortion. Or if the mother decides to keep the child, you get him later on because now he winds up in prison. Prison's big money.
Mm-hmm.
The prison system in the prison system in the United States is on the New York Stock Exchange. They trade mm-hmm. stocks on prison.
Yes.
Social yes. engineering, the destruction of the family.
Yes.
This is, you see, so again, Black Lives Matter. What do they care about black lives? He just read a litany of things that they should be concerned with, and they're not concerned with mm-hmm. any of that.
That's right. And, you know, like in Europe, let's just say I watched a movie the other night, I think it's called Evelyn, and it's about the Catholic Church, how when two parents, you know, didn't have a job, the Catholic Church came in and took the children away to their care homes.
Sure
we know what happened to them. It's horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
They had no choice. They were court-ordered. But then they turn around in England. One of the things England started was rewarding people for not getting married and for having babies. They got priority housing. You know, the more kids you have, the bigger the check. And they started
right.
to reward it. It's total opposite. You know, both are wrong. Both were
Absolutely.
Totally wrong.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there was nothing in there for helping these women. Nothing like promoting work and better jobs or keeping families together. There was nothing. There was nothing but rewards in England for, you know, for breaking up the family. And that's exactly what you're saying. It's the same way in Europe. That started a long time ago. So
right.
if a couple with a child wanted to get housing, which a lot of it the government does own there, you know, or the
mm-hmm,
council
mm-hmm.
houses they're
right.
called. Those are the flats that are sometimes 200 years old. There's a lot of people that own those over there or live in those,
mm-hmm.
rent them, you might as well say.
Right.
But so the council housing over there, the woman, not the family with a child, they that that maybe they were working or the father was working, they didn't get the priority into the housing. It was the woman who had no job and had a child would
right.
get the priority to move into it,
right.
to these. And they were affordable. That's affordable
right.
housing. But the reward on kept going up in England, you know,
sure.
instead of finding a solution to help keep families together, they rewarded the fact that people were apart. You know, there were better benefits.
Just like now. Look what the government does now. The government is giving people unemployment checks that are so huge
mm-hmm.
that now people
yeah.
don't want to go to work.
Right.
That
exactly.
The government's doing that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. Listen, they have an agenda behind that.
Yes. Exactly.
We're getting over now. We're getting over because now they're giving. No, they're getting over on you. They're conditioning you now.
Yeah.
You are being trained
to
like a dog.
Receive that little.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're going to get that
you
little
see?
Check and stay home. That doesn't
right.
pay for anything. Because look at what's happening with prices. Look at the inflation right now. And look
My goodness.
If that paycheck goes down to, I know our state lowered, I believe, they lowered the unemployment back to normal. So the unemployment would be about 200 and something a week. Is all
nobody can live on that.
Now.
Nobody can live on that.
And look at the inflation everywhere.
Right.
You know, I paid
Correct.
$90 for a car battery last year, a new car battery for our car.
Mm-hmm.
It was $98. I paid $200 for a battery for the other car just a week or so ago. $200 just for a car battery.
Yep.
Yeah. That was $98 last
right.
year.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
So everything.
Yeah. Everything is going up. Everything.
Yep.
And
your money's going
this,
down.
Right. You see, what people don't realize is inflation is a tax. So Biden is
mm-hmm.
giving you these checks for free. And people are getting stuff for free, and then but
mm-hmm.
the government beats up on all of us because inflation. See, I don't get a check from the government, and look, I'm not
mm-hmm.
I'm not knocking people who do because there are some people
right.
that put into the system, and you know that's they ought to be getting that back. God
yeah.
bless you. I haven't filed for anything yet because I'm holding off a few years. Because there are advantages to filing later. You get more later than if you filed earlier. You get less. So I'm just taking the long road. So
mm-hmm.
So I'm not knocking people who get. But the problem is that now we're all getting. Not all of us are taking. Some of us
mm-hmm.
are taking. Some of us refuse not to take. But we're all getting taxed.
Mm-hmm.
We're all
yeah.
feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And with this new bill, oh, $3.5 trillion in infrastructure. Guess what? Who do you think is going to pay for that? Free college?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding? Free college? There's no free college. Well, there is. There's a little institute called the International Institute of Biblical and Mensa.
Yes,
that's free. But other than that, there's
yep.
nothing free. There's nothing free. Please.
Yep.
All right. Here's these guys because I went off on a
See,
tangent.
Money talks. It is. The love of money is the root of all evil. That is so true. And the love of money will draw people to this, to all these things.
Right. Sure, sure. And see, that's why people say, I'll never take the mark of the beast. Listen, the way people are signing up right now for money, it's
mm-hmm.
going to be easy for them to take the, you know, if they're not Christian, of course. Lots of people are
yep.
going to be signing up. Go ahead, put the chip inside of me. Put it wherever you want to put the chip. I don't care.
Because
mm-hmm. I just want my free stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. It'll be easy.
Yep.
Okay.
you walk through there, and all of it's incredibly important for us to know and understand. Again, I'm certain that those of our detractors will challenge how much time we spend unpacking Marx and his ideology. I would much rather people do the homework that we've done, walk through it so that they have more than just a name call. More times than not, Daryl, when people get engaged in internet conversations, debate on social media, they throw a label out where they have no idea what the label actually means, right? The label or the charge is an effort really to shut down dialogue. I think what you and I have demonstrated during the course of this particular podcast is that we're willing to interact with what Marx has stated and then examine it against a backdrop of a biblical worldview.
Exactly. And
attach scripture to what we mean by what we say. We're going to define our terms. This is not ambiguity here. This is not, we're not trying to be kind of shaded about what we're meaning to say, kind of cloaked and daggered and language like that. We want to be very clear about what we're saying. At the end of the day, this stuff matters. This is worth remembering. The very mm-hmm. things necessary, and this is really what you brought up during the course of this entire, especially the back half of what you stated in the commentary, the very things that are necessary to promote family, to promote self-reliance, to promote value within the black community are the very things that Black Lives Matter efforts to absolutely destroy.
That's exactly right, bro.
Disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family. I got news for them. The nuclear family was prescribed in Scripture back in Genesis chapter 3.
Amen.
Okay?
Tell them, bro. Tell them.
And so this isn't something that showed up as a Johnny-come-lately afterthought here in the United States of America at the point at which the Mayflower landed on Plymouth Rock, right? This is not that kind of a program. The family has been an institution ordained by God from the very beginning. And at the point at which Black Lives Matter thinks that they're going to disrupt that, they've got another thing coming. They absolutely do. To foster a queer-affirming network, to dismantle cisgender privilege. Again, what we have is not individuals created in the image of God. We have people groups established by categories that are separated and segregated for the purpose of creating anger and outrage and victimhood so that emotion can be used to overturn structures and systems. That is exactly what this is all about. We need to be clear about that. We need to be articulate about that. And we need to be able to explain that to others with crystal clarity because it matters. It absolutely matters.
Brother, those are some brilliant points you made. You just gave me an excellent segue into where I want to go next, which is, well, I want to quote John MacArthur in his book, Think Biblically, Recovering a Christian Worldview. In that book, Pastor John MacArthur writes this, quote, "The more one understands people's ideas, the better one can communicate the truth of Scripture and the gospel to them. That is why one learns about cults and religions, and why missionaries try to understand the cultures in which they live. But not enough Christians put much effort into understanding the culture in which they live. New believers who come to the church bring their worldviews with them. Furthermore, those Christians already in the church who do not understand worldview issues will not realize when they are embracing non-Christian concepts." Now, I want to repeat that.
Yeah, that's good.
MacArthur says, "Those Christians already in the church who do not understand worldview issues will not realize when they are embracing non-Christian concepts." This is exactly why I'm still so befuddled and dumbfounded at how easily Christians within the church, Christians and evangelicals and those within the evangelical church, so easily, without even thinking, adopted that hashtag Black Lives Matter.
Right.
Just adopted it. Just adopted it. Totally ignorant, totally naive about what's underlying that. Mm-hmm. What underlies that that hashtag, people, is an entire world view. It's a world view. MacArthur is exactly right. He says, new believers who come into the church bring their worldviews with them. Furthermore, those Christians already in the church who do not understand worldview issues will not realize when they're embracing non-Christian concepts.
Absolutely.
MacArthur continues, Paul warned the Colossians not to allow themselves to be taken captive by philosophy. It's Colossians 2:8. Most Christians assume that the best way to prevent that is to avoid, this is to your point earlier, Omaha, about how on the Just Thinking podcast, we go to those sources that don't align with Scripture. So it's to bring them into the conversation and shape a biblical construct around what those worldviews teach.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what MacArthur is saying here. He says most Christians assume that the best way to prevent that is to avoid learning anything contrary to what they believe. Well, see, we don't do that here on the Just Thinking podcast. We tell you what other people believe.
Absolutely.
MacArthur says, but like it, from their own sources.
Mm-hmm.
So MacArthur says, but like it or not, worldview issues are all around, pressing in from the surrounding country. See, again, I'm sorry, this, but I have to stop here again. This really grieves my heart. That professing Christians don't understand the concept of worldview. They just do not understand it. Number one, they don't have a worldview themselves. They don't have a biblical worldview themselves. So is it any question that they're so susceptible to embracing unbiblical worldviews? They don't even know how to identify a worldview, how to recognize a worldview, let alone determine if it's godly or ungodly. MacArthur continues. He says, but like it or not, worldview issues are all around, pressing in from the surrounding culture. Instead of trying to completely shield oneself from culture, Paul would advise a different approach, understanding something about the ideas that intrude and learning to discern between the truth and error. Hello? MacArthur is exactly right. Listen, that is why we do the Just Thinking podcast, to help you discern between truth and error.
Amen.
MacArthur closes with this. Western culture is undergoing sweeping and profound changes that are transforming the prevailing cultural worldview, especially with regard to the nature of truth, unquote. That was John MacArthur from his book, Think Biblically, Recovering a Christian Worldview. Now, those words from John MacArthur summarize why we are doing this episode of Black Lives Matter. Because truth is at stake. Not just the truth, but truth in general. You know, one of the most misunderstood aspects of what it means for followers of Christ to hold to a biblical worldview is that we're never to make judgments. Okay? People say all the time, well, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. You know, one of the most misunderstood, and this might be the most misunderstood, mistaught and misapplied verse in the entire Bible, and that is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Where Jesus says, judge not, lest you be judged. But the truth is, nothing could be further from the truth than that we are never to judge. By the way, just as an aside, Omaha, the word judge in Matthew 7:1 doesn't mean what most people think it means. Okay? That word, the words judge and judged in Matthew 7:1 are the same Greek word. The Greek word Krino, that's spelled K-R-I-N-O, which translated means simply to pronounce an opinion concerning what is right and wrong. Do you understand that now? That word does not mean what you thought it meant all these years. The word krino simply means to pronounce an opinion concerning what is right and wrong, or wrong. The word krino does not mean to condemn, which is what most people mistakenly think the word judge means. That word does not mean to condemn. The word condemn is the Greek word katakrino, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-N-O. Katakrino, which means to judge someone as worthy of punishment or to pronounce a punishment upon someone. So in Matthew 7:1, Jesus is not saying we are never to judge anything as being right or wrong. You better be making those judgments in your life. What Jesus is saying is that there in Matthew 7:1, what Jesus is saying there is that we are not to pass sentence on someone, because that is up to God. That is in Matthew 10:28. So Jesus is not saying, again, that you're not to have an opinion on whether something is right or wrong. Listen, Omaha, you and I are both biblical counselors. What would you think of me if I'm counseling a couple where, let's say, for instance, the wife has committed sexual immorality outside the marriage, but I call it a discretion. I call it having an affair, and I don't call it adultery. I don't call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condemning her, but I'm judging her. Mm-hmm. I'm judging that you're an adulterer.
Right.
I'm not condemning you for your adultery, because that's not what was in my power to do. But that's just an example of how the church, for I don't know how many years, has taken Matthew 7:1 and absolutely ripped it to exegetical shreds. Have absolutely no hermeneutic whatsoever. Judge does not mean condemn. There are two different words, okay? In the sermon he preached on October 6, 1867, titled A Sharp Knife for the Vine Branches, the 19th century Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, quote, "There is a sense in which we are not to judge men, but there is another sense in which he would be an arrant fool who did not constantly exercise his judgment upon men," unquote. Now consider Spurgeon's words in light of what Jesus says in John 7:24. And this is where I always take someone, whenever someone tries to throw that don't judge up in my face in Matthew 7:1, I take them right to John 7:24. This is Jesus speaking. John 7:24, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." In other words, do not crino, okay? Do not draw a conclusion according to appearance. But crino, same Greek word as in Matthew 7:1, is in John 7:24. But crino, judge, discern, with righteous judgment. Now, notwithstanding the unarguable fact that Black Lives Matter is nothing close to an ecclesiastical entity, the fact remains that the gospel of Jesus Christ calls the people of Christ to not show partiality of any kind or for any reason in situations that require us to make judgments or draw objective and discerning conclusions.
All right, let's pause it there. I'm sure you have comments. So,
is he correct in what he just said?
I'm sorry?
Is he correct in what he just said about judge and judgment, or judging?
Absolutely.
Judge
absolutely.
And judge.
I'll explain krinos and katakrinos. I'll do it this way. When you get a letter in the mail and you're asked to be part of jury duty, right? You're
mm-hmm.
asked to be one of 12 jurors to view a case, to hear a case. Now, the 12 jurors, the judge says, have you reached the verdict, right? Have
mm-hmm.
you reached the verdict? So what do you think the 12 jurors were doing for the past month when the attorneys on both sides were presenting evidence? They were what? Analyzing. They were
weighing it.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So that's krinos, right? Because the judge says
mm-hmm.
to the jury foreman, have you reached a verdict? And yes, Your Honor, we have reached a verdict. Okay, so that's krinos. We're supposed to make assessments on what we've heard. That's the job of a jury. When as a parent, or when my grandmother used to say, come over here. There were cookies in this jar. What happened? She would say, what happened to them? right? And here I am. I got cookie crumbs all over my shirt, and I'm still chewing, right? I'm trying to swallow so I can answer her. Now, she's already judging me. She already knows. She already caught me, right? Okay. So
yep.
Krinos means you have to evaluate. I gave the illustration when I go shopping. My wife will grab a bag of potatoes, put it in the cart. What I do is I take the bag out. I look at each potato through the plastic because there could be a bad potato in there. There can be a bad avocado.
Yes.
There could be a bad tomato, right? You're always looking at stuff. It's called judging because you want to be able to pick the best one. We judge every day.
Right.
There's a car in front of you. You have to judge the distance between you and them in case they put on the brakes all of a sudden, right? You're always judging. Judging is part of life. My wife comes to me and she says, which one of these blouses looks better with these shoes? I better get that right. And she's asking me, I can't mess that one up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're always judging. So krinos means where you render a verdict. Now, kata krinos comes in now on sentencing day. The jury doesn't sentence the convicted criminal. The judge does.
Mm-hmm.
The judge says, I was given discretion to give you 30 to life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to give you 5 to 18 years. Well, that higher judgment belongs to the judge who sentences the person who was found guilty by the jury. You see? So heaven and hell belongs to God. But we get to judge on a daily. I go to this church, and the preacher's not preaching the word. Guess what? I judge with my feet. I don't go back.
Right.
So krinos and
kata krinos. And I had to do the same thing with these guys. You know, I had to judge who was the best.
Right,
you know,
for the audience,
for our
listening audience, right? Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. We do that every day. We do that every day. Every day you know, every day we use our brains. So when Christians say that, when dopey Christians, you know, Christians who have been dumbed down, when they say stupid things like that, we have to school them. You have to say no, and I'll always bring it down to their level. Okay, you know, I'll give them the shopping experience, and I'll have, you know, 3 avocados there, and I'll have a rotten one, and they'll say, I want to buy this one. No. You're taking the rotten one home. No, I don't want. Well, why? You see, you just judged. You don't want the rotten avocado. You don't want that.
Exactly.
Why is it? Because you just,
you show them
to be nonsensical.
Right.
And, you know, what he said was on the money. So, yeah, there are things. Jesus says, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And then Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruit, which means we have to be fruit inspectors. We must be fruit inspectors. So when you balance out all the verses, you come away with a proper understanding of what it means to judge and what does it mean to judge not. See, but you got to put all the verses together. You just can't isolate one verse. You got to put them all together. So, these guys are wonderful. These guys, I can listen to them all day.
Well, they took the time to explain all that, and you know, that's the point. I think the bottom line with this: if you don't thoroughly understand what you're up against, and you don't know the scriptures, you will follow the crowd instead of following God. And that's the whole point, I think. You're going to go with the crowd if you don't know what this is about and if you don't understand what the scriptures say about it, you know, or what, if you don't understand, if you haven't judged what this is about or, you know, from the facts that they've presented and you don't know the scriptures that point you to go in on opposite direction, you're going to join the crowd instead of following God. So that's the point he's trying to make, I think.
Yeah. And you see, and it goes back to the pastors. See, when I was pastoring, I would have a list of preachers that I forbade the sheep to listen to. The names of these preachers was placed on the bulletin once a month. At the end of every month, I would say in this week's bulletin, as I do every other month, the last week of the month, I list the names of preachers that I discourage you listening to them because they're false teachers. So this way the church already knew based on my recommendation. And then if they had sat under my teaching for a long time, they could discern, oh, now I know why Pastor is recommending we don't listen to this person, right? But you see, that comes with what? Educating the flock, feeding the flock. Mm-hmm. But since most pastors don't feed the flock and most pastors will not call out certain people by name, you know, John MacArthur does that all the time. He calls out Joel Osteen. He'll call out Paula White, Paula White and Donald Trump. And he'll tell you, listen, this one is over here is loony. This one over here is a pantheist. Yeah. And if you don't do that, your sheep are going to just say, okay, everybody's okay. And everybody is not okay.
Right.
You can't listen to everybody.
Right. And that's why we're calling out groups, too. You know, the movements, the groups.
Absolutely.
You know.
Here's a group that says that Black Lives Matters, but based on what they presented in this two-hour podcast, they proved again and again and again that Black Lives Matters really don't matter to Black lives because they listed all the things that hurt Black people, and Black Lives Matters never talked about those things that hurt the Black community.
Right.
So Black
the real
lives
issues.
Really do not. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, all right, we have a few more minutes, so let's see if we can squeeze in here.
So as an organization, Black Lives Matter is all about partiality. Not to mention the fact that much of what that organization stands for is patently unbiblical, which sadly, though not surprisingly, doesn't seem to matter to many professing believers today, many of whom are regarded as leaders within large evangelical churches, organizations, and denominations who have tethered themselves either to Black Lives Matter, the organization, or to the phrase, quote, Black Lives Matter, unquote, which originated with that organization.
Mm-hmm.
While being totally naive, or perhaps in some cases, for the sake of popularity and celebrity, deliberately ignorant about the Marxist roots and the political objectives of that organization. But in 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Apostle Paul warned the Corinthian believers to not become partakers with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness, Paul asks? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Mm-hmm. In Ephesians 5:11, that I quoted at the very top of the episode, believers are commanded to not participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead to expose them. But you see, Omaha, the evangelical church, particularly in America, has all but abandoned any concept of the biblical doctrine of spiritual light and darkness, of the reality of good and evil, of righteousness and lawlessness, so that many professing Christians today are simply afraid to make those distinctions.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, even in the case of such an egregiously unbiblical entity as Black Lives Matter, they're afraid to discern between what is right and what is wrong, despite the fact that God has given his people, he has not given his people a spirit of timidity. Despite that reality, we have become so fearful of what the world may think of us that we do everything we can to ingratiate and endear ourselves to a world that hates us.
Right.
We don't dare regard Black Lives Matter as unbiblical and their agenda as being antithetical to the gospel because, God forbid, the world might think we're unloving. But here's the thing, Omaha. The world is supposed to hate us. Why are we so afraid of what the world thinks of us when the world is not supposed to think? When the world is supposed to think that way about us? Why believers try to endear themselves to an unbelieving, God-rejecting world that is supposed to despise and reject us? Jesus said as much in John 15 verses 18 and 19. He said, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you." If you were of this world, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. That's John 15, 18, and 19. Now, the word hates there in John 15, verses 18 and 19, is the Greek verb miseo. Miseo, that's M-I-S-E-O, miseo. It is a word that, when translated, literally means a detestable hatred that manifests itself in deliberate persecution. It means to pursue with an attitude of hatred. The hatred that the world has for believers in Christ is not merely a dislike of us, but it's a deep-seated disdain and hatred of who we are. Now, knowing this, I am dumbfounded that there are professing Christians today who continue to genuflect to the world and its values, such as in the case of Black Lives Matter, as if the words Jesus spoke in John 15, 18, and 19 had never been spoken.
Right.
Now, by the way, just as an aside, Omaha, I just want to say that in John 15, verse 19, Jesus gives us an excellent definition of salvation. If you want a concise yet biblical definition of salvation, there it is in John 15, 19. Salvation is Christ choosing you out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is what salvation is, very succinctly. Now, as we prepare to close out this episode of the Just Thinking Podcast, I want to remind our listeners of the two passages I cited earlier in 2 Corinthians 6:14 and Ephesians 5:11. God's people are not to become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? We are not to participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but are instead to expose them. Now, it is against those two passages of Scripture that I want our listeners to consider these poignant words from A.W. Tozer from his book, Culture, Living as Citizens of Heaven on Earth. Tozer said this, quote, "Christianity's scramble for popularity today is an unconscious acknowledgement of spiritual decline. Her eager fawning at the feet of the world's great is a grief to the Holy Spirit and an embarrassment to the sons of God. Saving truth is a rare treasure, and not many in any generation possess it. We are to bless the world, but are never, we are told, to compromise with it. Our glory lies in a spiritual withdrawal from all that builds on dust. The bee finds no honey while crawling around the hive. Honey is in the flower far away where there is quiet and peace and the sun and the flowing stream. There the bee must go to find it. The Christian will find slim pickings where professed believers play and pray all in one breath. He may be compelled sometimes to travel alone, or at least to go with the ostracized few. To belong to the despised minority may be the price he must pay for power. But power is cheap at any price." Listen to this from Tozer as he closes. "The question for the church is this. Shall we modify the truth in doctrine or practice to gain more adherents, or shall we preserve the truth in doctrine and practice and take the consequences?" Unquote. I'm out, bro. What you got over?
Yeah, no, I think that last question is incredibly critical, especially as aimed at the evangelical church culture, because at the end of the day, we adopt this philosophical craze of Black Lives Matter. And it is absolutely the end of those who call themselves churches. It is not the end of the church. The true church will always be. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. But those who call themselves the church and adopt and embrace the all of what we've just walked through from a standpoint of the philosophy, the ideology that undergird Black Lives Matter, it's over. You crack the door to this Trojan horse, And it is over. It is absolutely over for
Indeed.
You.
Indeed.
I'm glad we did this episode. I'm glad we walked through this. I think it's gonna serve the people of God well. I'm gonna encourage you, if you've listened and gotten all this far,
to stop, pause, take a breath, grab a pad, grab a pen, and go back through the episode. I'm gonna encourage you to do that. This is one of those that will be a reference point for many who listen. And then what I'm going to ask you to do is to send it to someone else that you believe will benefit from the work that Daryl and I have walked through in this particular episode. We're hopeful that it blesses you, that you find it edifying. We're hopeful that all that we shared in this episode at the end of the day glorifies God, because we intend to preserve the truth in doctrine and practice and take the consequences. That's exactly
Amen.
How we intend to roll.
Amen.
I'll encourage you to join us next time for the
excellent, man. These guys are excellent.
Yeah. They're willing to die on that mountain.
Yeah, that's it. That's
you know.
It. Listen.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. The cross is so that you can die.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the cross is
yep.
for. The cross is not for you to carry it. It's, you know,
right.
there was a guy who used to appear on TVN, and his claim to fame was that he carried a cross everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, people would stop and ask him, you know, why are you carrying it? Well, it was an opportunity for him to share Jesus. So I'm not knocking the brother.
Mm-hmm.
But the cross
yeah.
is not for you to carry it. The cross is for you to die on.
Right.
Die for your Savior. Die for what you believe. Contend for the
mm-hmm.
faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. And when you do, you're going to die. You're going to die.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they can call me unloving, but I'm calling this group out. You know, I don't care.
Right.
This is going to take a lot of souls, you know. Here, Satan's after souls, and this is one that could be, you know,
well, again,
a big one.
This is why we do these shows. We're not here
mm-hmm.
to hear our own voices. We're not here to celebrate another milestone, per se. We're not here to mm-hmm. boast and tell people, look, I have a radio. No, no, we're here to educate people. We're here to warn people.
Right.
We're here to tell people, open your eyes. Start discerning, start judging things. Don't accept everything you're told. Don't follow the crowd, right? How many, right?
Yes.
Isn't that what we tell people? Don't follow the
mm-hmm.
crowd.
Yeah.
Ask questions. If you're not allowed to ask questions, then leave that place where you're not allowed to ask questions.
Absolutely.
That's what we do week
Absolutely.
After week. That's what we tell. We tell people. Right? And that's
yep.
it. And we don't care. We don't care who likes us, who doesn't like us, who recommends us, who doesn't
right.
recommend us. We're here
right.
we're here for the sheep. That's who we're here
that's
for.
Right.
And for anyone
yep.
else who would listen. So this was a great show, as always. These guys are phenomenal.
Thank you.
Listen, you've presented numerous audios from these guys. They are highly recommendable. I haven't heard
yes.
one podcast yet out of all the ones you brought on here where we have a sharp disagreement with these brothers. We don't have any sharp disagreement with them. We're right there standing with them. So we highly recommend
yes.
them.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you again for presenting this podcast audio. Thank you again for even introducing us to Anna Waters, who I'd never heard of before, but that's okay. There's a lot of people I've never heard of, which are wonderful. And you have the last
well, let's
word,
hope she isn't. Let's hope she isn't involved in other things. I I didn't check her out, but I like that song by her.
Well, yeah.
I was
you know,
just
my,
saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that anyone who sings like that, like you know, Stephen McLeod, you know, people like that who really sing from
yeah.
the soul, they got to be right with
yeah.
Jesus. I think she's got to be right with Jesus.
I would hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
We will see. Yeah, I hope so. Well, have a great week, and we'll be back next week. Now, I'm really excited about the next audio, and I think you will be too. We're going to learn a lot again. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye. Have a great day.
Set and action.
King of heaven, my victory.